Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In Ephesians 5, Paul tells us about the church that God is seeking. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word, that he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So the goal for the church is not to be good, spiritual, victorious, or even powerful. What God is after and what we should be focused on is a glorious church. Bob Danker has joined us today. Bob, welcome to the program again.
It's good to be back, Chris. And this aspect of the church as a glorious church, I would say perhaps many of us have not considered this adequately.
I think that will come out very definitely in our program today. You know, I was thinking, Bob, as Paul was penning this passage, it seems he could have used any number of modifiers here, any number of adjectives to describe the church. But he, of course, obviously God, through him, through the Spirit, through Paul, selects glorious. Why is this a particularly appropriate adjective for the church, particularly given the aspect of the church that Ephesians is presenting?
Well, Chris, Ephesians presents us a view of the church which is mainly from God's perspective. It is not a view from man's perspective. If we were to write a book on the church, perhaps we would describe the church as spiritual or victorious.
Right.
That would be our point of view. But God's point of view is much higher than ours. And when Paul wrote Ephesians, he was surely in the Spirit. He was fully empowered and inspired by the Spirit of God to portray the church to us in a way that represents God's desire, even his eternal plan, something from eternity,
right?
Not something from time, something out of God's very heart, his inner being, not something out of man's heart, man's mind and thought.
Well, we want to get our view lined up with the view that Paul is presenting, really this view from the heavenlies, God's view of the church, as it were. And I think if we will all exercise, open ourselves to the Word and His shining, we will have such a result, and especially with the kind of ministry we'll get today. I'll point out to our listeners, we've been listening to messages Witness Lee gave in the late 1970s, but today we're picking up some sharing that he gave at a conference many years before, so you're going to notice a younger sounding, a little different audio quality, so just for our listeners who've been following closely each day. So from 1973 this time, we'll hear Witness Lee speaking on the glorious church.
Hallelujah for a glorious church, not a good church, nor a nice church, not even a spiritual church, nor a heavenly church, but a glorious church, the church of glory. We all have to realize glory is absolutely different from morality. Glory is different from behaviors. Glory is the expression of God. Whenever God expresses himself, that is glory. Whenever God is manifest, that is glory. The church should be a church of glory. It is not the church of goodness, the church of good behavior, even not the church of spirituality. In God's economy, what God wants is a church of glory, a glorious church. By what way God can have a glorious church? By Christ sanctifying, purifying, nourishing, and cherishing. By these four things done by Christ personally, practically, the church could be made glorious. But a spiritual church, where is such a term in the Bible? Do you have such a term? How about this? A glorious church. We heard a lot of talk about a spiritual church. I never heard a talk about a glorious church. Brother Nee, Watchman Nee, put out a book by the title, A Glorious Church. But most of the Christian stores would not carry this book. Sorry, poor people just reject the glorious church. They like to have a spiritual church, not a glorious church. Isn't this funny? Isn't this strange? This is religion. Why you've been seeking spiritual? Why you never seek to be glorious? Some kind of teaching took away sneakily this revelation from your understanding. God has no intention to have a spiritual church. God has no intention to have a victorious church. Don't misunderstand me. God's intention is to have a glorious church.
Bob, probably to many people hearing, and as you and I were listening, we were both commenting, this is a strong message he was giving here. I would say to many of our listeners, probably they would view a spiritual church, a glorious church, just about the same, maybe synonyms or meaning pretty close to the same thing. Why is he drawing such a fine line here, a definite line, that God is particularly after a glorious church?
Well, Chris, it is possible to be spiritual as opposed to being fleshly,
right,
without being glorious. Witness Lee gave us a definition of what it is to be glorious. It means to be God expressing, a church that manifests God, a church in which you can see the very expression of what God is. Surely, if we are glorious, we will be more than spiritual,
right,
and we will be more than victorious.
Right.
I would say spirituality and victory are a little bit too low. God's view and God's desire is much higher, that he wants the church to manifest what he is. And, of course, this requires that the church would be filled with God and saturated and permeated with God's glorious element, so that this glory pervades the church and even shines out of the church,
right,
as the very expression of what God is. God expressed is glory. He is the glorious God, and he wants to have a church that manifests him.
It seems as you consider this term spiritual, spirituality means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And I think that's one of the problems. And as you said, we've all seen people who have a very sort of what we would classify as a spiritual disposition, a spiritual demeanor, which may or may not really be one that is expressing the shining of God's presence, God's image, God's manifestation. Glory is altogether in this realm, isn't it?
It is. It's far beyond the realm of being merely spiritual. It is really in the realm of shining out God, expressing God in his glory.
He mentioned the book here written by Watchman Nee, a book called The Glorious Church. You and I did a program just within the last couple of days. Francis Ball was here also touching this matter of the type as seen in Genesis chapter 2 and comparing that with the church in Ephesians 5. That's very much the theme of the book that Watchman Nee wrote called The Glorious Church, which he was talking about. And he there picks up, of course, Genesis 2, Ephesians 5, and then supplements it with the view from Revelation 12 and Revelation 21, seeing the church from four different perspectives, all as God sees it. So I think it would be appropriate for us to mention this book, again, the book called The Glorious Church. And as he said, when you go to the bookshelves of many Christian bookstores, you'll see a number of titles typically by Watchman Nee, but usually this one not included. I think that this program and this life study of Ephesians is bringing this matter to the fore, and to see Watchman Nee's ministry on it from years ago, in addition to what we're getting from Witness Lee, I think it'd be a big help to everybody listening. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree, Chris. To see the church from Watchman Nee's ministry is very enlightening, and I would highly recommend that every one of our listeners would get a copy of this book.
Let's get back to Witness Lee as we continue on the glorious church today.
God has no intention to get a group of spiritual beings. He got this already. Myriads of angels, they're all spiritual. That is really a spiritual group. God got it already. God doesn't need that. But God desires to have a glorious people. God desires to see that even today, in this dark age, on this evil earth, there is a group of people full of His glory. Not spiritual, not heavenly, not victorious, but full of glory. Full of glory. A glorious people. If we are taking the Lord Jesus as our person, in a sense, our situation and our condition may be so poor. We are just a bunch of poor flesh. Yet, when we take the Lord Jesus as our person, I tell you, all the angels would admire. They would say, Maya, look, today on the earth, there is a group of poor people, but full of glory. Amen. Angels, we don't like to be like you. You are so spiritual. You are so heavenly. But angels, we are glorious. Amen. We have Jesus Christ within all of us as our person, but you don't have. Michael, do you have Christ within you as your person? Gabriel, you had the opportunity to announce the birth of Christ, but you don't have the privilege to take Christ in as your person. You announced to us about the birth of Christ. We like to declare to you that we have this Christ indwelling us. You know, Gabriel, you are not my brother. You have to realize you are my servant. Hallelujah! You are spiritual, but we are glorious. You are heavenly, but we are glorious. You are victorious, but we are glorious. Oh, a glorious church!
Bob, here was a very clear contrast. The angels are obviously victorious. They're obviously spiritual, but they don't have this possibility that the church has, do they?
They certainly don't, Chris. They do not have the possibility to be glorious. They do not have the possibility to shine forth the very God of glory. That's because they don't have the God of glory dwelling within them. They don't have Christ, who is the effulgence of God's glory, dwelling within them and saturating them and permeating them with God's glorious element. As you said, they are very spiritual. They are spirits.
Mm-hmm.
They're altogether spiritual.
That's right.
And certainly they are victorious, at least those who are faithful to God. They did not follow Satan in his rebellion. They're victorious. But they don't have the privilege that we have of expressing and manifesting God's glory.
So despite their victorious condition, their spiritual nature, they're looking upon us even with some anticipation as the church, aren't they? I mean, the whole creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. That's alluding to this condition of glory really inhabiting and permeating the church, isn't it?
That's right. In fact, the angels are serving us. As the sons of God, we are the sons of God, we are being brought into glory, and they are looking at us, and they are serving us so that they can see God's glory manifested from within us.
Let's talk about that for just a moment. We're going to get into that in this last segment, but I thought to set it up a little bit. Bob, when we talk about glory in this context, not just the glory that awaits in heaven or that is existing in the heavenly arena where God is, but what about the glory that God is imparting, dispensing, as we're going to hear such terms in this coming section, as penetrating and saturating us? What about this understanding of glory? This might be new to many people.
I would agree that this is new. I think what we commonly consider glory is some kind of a bright, shining realm into which we can enter into. Is not our concept that glory can saturate us from within and shine out from within us. But this is really the concept of the New Testament. I would say it is a more important way of looking at glory than the way of considering glory as just an outward realm for us to enter into. Surely we will enter into a realm, but more importantly, glory will permeate us and shine from within us.
When we initially encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a kind of shining that comes upon us from Him. But over time, as that living one enters into us, that glory comes with Him and now is operating from within us. This sense is conveyed very much in a couple of verses that I want to read as we prepare to join Witness Lee for this last segment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In whom the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers, that the illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, might not shine on them. Because the God who said, out of darkness light shall shine, is the one who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we couple that, the verse you alluded to a moment ago in Hebrews about Christ being the effulgence, right? What we see is that with the person of Christ, with His presence, comes this glorious, shining expression of the very God, first upon us from without, but ultimately from within.
Yes, and the gospel, when it's preached in a proper way, brings this glorious Christ into us, and then He shines from within us.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee, Bob.
Our gospel is not just a gospel of forgiveness, not just a gospel of redemption, not just a gospel of regeneration, justification by faith. Our gospel is the gospel of the glory of Christ.
Amen.
We have a gospel that has the light, that shines. How it shines? It shines, first of all, into us. Oh, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ shines in you. Now from within you, it is shining. The more this glory shines, the more the light of this glory penetrates will be. That means what? That means saturated will be. And that means takes over your being. Eventually, the light doesn't come hourly from above. It comes inwardly from within and through us. Only Jesus, who is the glory of God, who is the manifestation of the glory of Jesus, and who is the image of God, only He Himself can do this job. And He's doing. Hallelujah. He's doing. He has shone into our depths. And now from our depth, He is shining. He's shining through our whole being. Glorious. The more Jesus shines from within you, the more you become glorious. And you have a verse that says, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face. Oh, you must have the presence of the Lord Jesus within you. The presence of the Lord Jesus is the glory. Oh, the glory of God is in the face of Jesus. Oh, you must have the face of the Lord Jesus. You stay away from Him. You don't have His face. You are through. You don't have His glory. When you have the face of Jesus, you have the glory. When you are in the presence, in the countenance of the Lord Jesus, you are in the glory.
Well, Bob, I want to come back to the comparison we've been keeping all throughout the program, spirituality versus being glorious. In a sense, it's possible to have a kind of spirituality apart from the Lord's presence, but there's no possibility of this thing called glory absent His presence, is there?
That's right. As you read earlier, the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So in order to have glory, we must have His face. We must have the inward presence, the countenance of the person within us. This face of Jesus shines God's glory from within us to permeate us and to saturate us and to make us glorious. Even Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, he said, "We all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord." That means the apostles inwardly were beholding the shining face of Jesus.
Wow.
Paul said, "We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." So Paul, the apostle, and all the believers, when we open our inner being to the shining of Christ, to the very Christ of glory who's within us, and let Him shine within us, then He permeates us and transforms us into His glorious image. There's no other way to become a church that is glorious.
Bob, I would just recommend the verses we've had today. We've had just a few, but they have been tremendous. I would say if our listeners would just take down these references, they could have themselves quite a time with the Lord or with a small group with the Lord, praying over these verses, fellowshipping over these verses. Of course, we began with Ephesians 5 and our particular reference, verse 27 in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Then we've included 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And then the marvelous reference you just added, 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18, about beholding the glory of the Lord. There's revelation in these verses, isn't there, Bob? And I think if they're grouped together, the light will really come.
I believe you're right, Chris.
Okay, as we have run out of time here, let me mention quickly, we alluded to it earlier in the broadcast, and that is this book by Watchman Nee, The Glorious Church. As we are nearing the completion of this segment of the Life Study of Ephesians dealing with the topic of the glorious church, we feel it's a marvelous book. I read this book early on in my Christian life, and it was one of the ones that was very, very, I would say, instrumental. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.